if you go back to the genesis of this, I think it was underestimated the complexity of this from the beginning, and that contributed to the woes that this program has experienced over these 5 or so years. So over time, it was learned that this was a more complex undertaking than what was originally envisioned. So in order to make this thing successfully, you know, a lot of stars had to align, and one of which our latest report talks about, is that the government had to do a good job of managing and overseeing its prime contractor, Boeing.
And it was, they outsourced a lot of that management. They put the prime contractor in charge. How's that oversight been going?
Well, what our report says is, frankly, DHS has not done a good job of overseeing and managing Boeing. We look at this from a number of perspectives in terms of putting in place the means or the processes by which you do effective contract tracking and oversight. We look at things surrounding making sure people are trained, whether you are verifying and accepting deliverables properly, whether you're conducting good technical reviews and periodic management reviews, and then also how well you're actually measuring performance. And so across all those areas, with the exception of training, we found some areas wanting, some more than others. The one area where they had done a good job of defining how they should do things and actually implementing how they defined those processes was in the area of training. But across the others, there were some real problems that, in the end, have contributed, along with a number of other things, to the program's inability to live up to expectations.
And let's focus on the training aspect first, because I don't always like to say folks doing a bad job. So the training parts, what did people do? What did DHS do right that allowed you to say, hey, my goodness, they're doing a pretty good job on the training aspect?
Well, first off, they've made it very clear as to what the expectations were as to training for key people in the program, like the program managers, the contractor, contracting officer, technical representative, the contracting officers, very clear as to what's expected of them from a training standpoint, and then they followed through to make sure that all of these principals, in fact, received the training that they needed.
And in aspects where they're not doing so well?
Where do we start with that? we can talk about, what they put in place defined processes governing how you are to verify and accept deliverables from the contractor.
And my sense when they did that, it was an attempt at least to do, we keep talking about modular, agile deployment of things, don't do the big bang approach. My sense when they did that, at least when I remember covering it when they first did it, that was part of the idea, is to try and not to do this in a modular approach.
Well, that's right. I mean, they did adopt an incremental approach to doing this, where they were going to deliver pieces of capability and to deploy and demonstrate those capabilities, and then incrementally add more and more capabilities to the system. That's the way this acquisition was designed to occur. And so what we're focused in on this review was looking at how well they managed the contractor in its ability to deliver that first increment, which is referred to as Block 1.
Hmm.
But in that regard, there were limitations in how it went about verifying and accepting deliverables. I mean, for example, when an item would come in for review and it was looked at, not always was the results of those reviews documented, and not always was the results of the review communicated back to the contractor as to whether or not it was being accepted or rejected. So with that miscommunication going on, there were times where the contractor would be reworking on something and submitting a new version of it. So there was a lot of extra work going on that would have been alleviated had there been good documentation surrounding what the review, the content of the review that was done by DHS, and good communication back with the contractor.
Hmm.
There was a range of other things that DHS needed to do relative to what's referred to as technical reviews. These are reviews that are done prior to some significant event on the acquisition, like doing a test readiness review to determine whether or not the system is ready to proceed into the next test event. And so in doing those kind of reviews, you should have explicit criteria for entering that review and then criteria for exiting the review. Well, in the case of DHS, they had defined criteria. The problem was they weren't applying the criteria for these reviews.
And not to ask a dumb question, but why?
Well, there are different reasons for it, but I mean, one of the compelling reasons for a lot of these things that DHS did not do relative to overseeing the contractor was they were under tremendous time constraint.
Right. Well, and that was one of the weird things that that I read in here, and I was trying to find it as you were talking, but essentially they didn't have the time to do some of these things, which seems like that's one of the parts that DHS has control over is, hold on, do we want to do it right or do we want to do it fast? Sometimes you can't always have it both ways.
I agree with you. That's my personal opinion. The worst thing is to do the wrong thing faster.
Right. And it seems like, I mean, I know there are often a lot of pressures. Hold on, you're over schedule. But there was almost, at least reading your report, there was a lot of push to get this done. We have to get this done. And so they almost cut through some of the checks that I guess they would normally do.
Right. They would have a situation, for example, where the contractor was to deliver, let's say, a test plan 10 days prior to a technical review, and they didn't get that test plan until the day of the review. And so they did the review during that test review, and they went ahead and moved forward with testing, even though the test plan itself was found unacceptable, and a revised version of the test plan wasn't received until weeks later.
So I know, and there are a number of recommendations. The top line recommendations would be?
Well, we had recommendations around in those cases where there was an opportunity to improve how they defined what they were supposed to do, the process definitions. We identified what those were and said that, you know, there needs to be improvement in the definition around how you want to do these things. And then there were recommendations associated with how they're actually executing these contractor tracking and oversight functions. Now, and a big part of that dealt with how they actually measure the contractor's performance. In order to measure performance, you've got to measure it against something, a benchmark, a baseline. And we found a range of problems associated with the quality and the reliability and the timeliness of these baselines that they established. The other thing you have to do is actually collect reliable data on actual performance to compare it to the baseline. And there were problems with the quality of that data, too. See, they really could never really get a good, accurate picture as to where the contractor was in its performance. And so without that picture, you're kind of hamstrung in your ability to take timely corrective action.
And it seemed like a little bit like there was a little bit of changing of the definitions of what they were trying to accomplish. Even that, you know, because it was fairly cutting edge, I imagine. So they were even changing that a little bit, which makes all that other stuff harder to do.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, overshadowing all these contractor tracking oversight activities is the fact that the program itself was in a state of flux.
Yeah.
It wasn't well defined from the beginning. It was in a constant state of change. And all this change was contributing to an inability to establish what are you going to hold the contractor accountable to.
And response from DHS?
Well, DHS agreed with all our recommendations, as they have with the series of reports that we've done here on SBINet. So that's very promising. They did take issue with how we characterize certain things of the report. And so, we took the time to respond to those comments in the report.
And I imagine this is a massive project. I imagine this is not the last report we'll see on SBINet.
Well, I don't know about that one, you know, but one of the things that's come out of recently happened, Secretary Napolitano has ordered her own assessment. This was back early in 2010, her own assessment of SBINet so she can be put in a position to decide what's the best course of action going forward. I would like to think that our reports had something to do with that. That assessment was scheduled to be done by now, but it hasn't gotten out yet. At least the results haven't been reported. I expect to see a decision to be made shortly as to what the path forward for SBINet, if any, is going to be.
Well-